Welcome to the Gut Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thank you so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word for you. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
My name is Chano. I've been at the church 20 years. I've been on staff for 16. I did youth for 10 years. I ran our internship for a while. I'm helping with youth again currently. I love it. I love the honor of serving this house. Whatever it's our Pastor Bill and Pastor Sandy are not here tonight. Pastor Sandy said she knew I'll do a great job. Pastor Bill said don't mess up. So I'm excited for the opportunity to do a good job and to not mess up. And so I know they're watching. We love you guys. Let's pray and we'll jump right into the word. God, we love you. Father, thank you for your house. Thank you for your people. Thank you for the honor we had to worship you, God. Truly, we lay our lives down, God. We want to know you better. We want to understand your word, God. Give us ears to hear tonight. We want to hear from you. In Jesus' name. Everybody said? Okay, so I have five kids, 17, 15, 13, 11, and 4, right? So you guys noticed the gap, surprise. Thank you, Jesus. Not the four-year-old yet, but the older ones, we do devos in the morning. Right now we're reading Hebrews, and we always read the proverb of the day, and they have devotionals that my wife buys them, and they have to read through. But we've been doing Hebrews, and I've been reading a lot. This is how I do it. You do it how you want to do it, but this is how I do it. I normally start in a New Living Translation. Then I work my way over to New King James, Amplified, the Passion Translation, then the Message. Because if something's good, I want to hear it a few different ways. Man, I want to capitalize on the most of it. So know my system, my theory. Pastor Bill also introduced me to a thing called the Dakes Bible. It is incredible. If you don't know what it is, you can find it online. Order it, the Dakes Bible. It is so, so good. There are so many resources out there to help you just get to know God's Word better. But lately, I've really been focusing on the Amplified, so you're going to hear a little bit of that tonight. It just kind of brings to life some of the words. So in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, for the word of God is living and active and full of power. And then it says in parentheses, making it operative, energizing, and effective. That's what the word of God should be in your life. It should be operative, energizing, and effective. Right? That's not, you know, when you just read it, New Living, read it, New King James, doesn't say that. But when the Amplified just emphasizes that, I was just like, my gosh, is God's word operative in my life? Has it energized me? And is it effective in my life? Am I seeing fruit because I'm active in God's word? So I want to encourage you guys, that's what it's there for. It's not to read and hang out and I got my chapters in and I'm done. That is not what God's word is there for. That is not our purpose of sitting down with your cup of coffee or however you do it and you read. No, it's supposed to be operative, energizing, and effective. You should see fruit in your life because you're spending time in God's word. That period, that's what it's intended to be in our lives. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating as far as the division of the soul and spirit, the completeness of a person. And both joints and marrow, the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and judging the very thoughts and intentions of the heart. And not a creature exists that is concealed from his sight, but all things are open and exposed and revealed to the eyes of him with whom we have to give account. And so I always like that sharper than two-edged sword. Maybe it's because I like samurai and ninja movies. I don't know what it is. But the sound of that was just always like, man, God has the coolest stuff, right? Like a two-edged sword that he's given us. We did Marriage on the Rock this summer with some couples. And one of the things Jimmy Evans said when he was talking about God's word being sharpened in a two-edged sword, he said, one side of the sword is blunt and sharp for the tearing down of strongholds, while the other side is surgical and produces healing. And I never thought of God's word that way, right? Like one is just knocking stuff out of our lives, but one of it is doing healing in something on the inside of us. That's God's word, right? And then I kind of wanted to look into it a little more. And there's a guy, his name is Rick Renner, amazing man of God. And I'm gonna tell you guys some of the things that he said about it because the way he said it, just like, you know, when stuff jumps out to you, you're like, it's like when you meet somebody and they're amazing, but then you hear their backstory and your mouth is just dropping what God's done in their life. Like, I can't even imagine you being that person because of what God has done in your life. This is what I felt like about this word. He said the phrase two-edged is taken from the Greek word distomos. It is a compound word of the word die, meaning two, and the word stomos, which is the Greek word for one's mouth. When these two words are compounded into one distomos, they describe something that is two-mouthed. Okay, so stick with me. It's two-mouthed. First, that word came out of the mouth of God. Next, it came out of your mouth. When it came out of your mouth, it became a sharp, two-edged, or literally a two-mouthed sword. One edge of the sword came into existence when the word initially proceeded out of God's mouth. The second edge of your sword was added when the word of God, proceeded out of your mouth. The moment it comes out of your mouth, a second edge is added to the blade. Nothing is more powerful than a word that comes first from God's mouth and then from your mouth. You and God have come into agreement, and that agreement releases his power into the situation at hand. Please, to mouth, right? Like, I'm telling you, when I read that, it just gave me a new visual of, I can't just store the word on the inside of me. It has to come out of my mouth, into my kids' lives, into my spouse's life, into our church's lives, into whatever situation is coming at me. I have to release that. I have to release the second side of that sword. Because I think so often we get caught up in, I did my time, right? I read, I got it in me, I'm good to go. And it's not supposed to be that. Operative, energizing, effective. That's what it's called to be in your life. A two-mouth sword. We have to willfully take the word of God and meditate on it and give it a place of top priority. This is how we take the first necessary step in giving the word a second edge in our lives. Right? You got to have it in there. Something we do with our internship that I love, and they actually had a memorization test today. Those interns, we want them meditating on God's word. Right? So there's a standard set for them. Every week there's 1, 2, 3, 8 verses they're memorizing. And they have to meditate on those throughout the week because they got to get up in front of people and they got to say it. And then take a test over to make sure they got it. Why? Because you want to test them? No, because you want it on the inside of them. So when something comes at them, we want that word to come out of them. Right? But if it's not in there, it doesn't come out. So people always wonder, I'll hear Pastor Bill pray. And if you've been reading the word, he's just praying the word of God. He's just praying God's promises. And sometimes you're just like, man, it's so eloquent. But the reality is he's just repeating what God has spoken over him, what God has put on the inside of him. Those promises just come out. Man, that's how you get to that victorious life, is that word is coming out of your mouth. The word of God remains a one-bladed sword when it comes out of God's mouth and drops in your heart, but is never released from your own mouth by faith. That word simply lies dormant in your heart, never becoming the two-edged sword God designed it to be. That's what happens. If it just lays dormant, then it's just a one-edged sword, which I'm not wanting to watch a movie with a one-edged sword. I want to watch a movie with a two-edged sword. We got to cut through some stuff. That's what it's intended to be. Don't let it be one-edged. Don't let it just be, oh, man, that was good. It's got to come out of your mouth. It's got to get inside of you. Man, it's got to excite you. I'm telling you, when something hits you, it's got to be like, I am so ready because I have this promise inside of me. The enemy, if you try to come at my kids, you try to come at someone in this church, we have the word of God ready to come out of our mouths. But it's got to be in there. You got to make God's word a top priority in your life. And don't let it sit dormant. There's a reason you read it. There's a reason it's in there. So when something comes at you, that's what comes out. When something comes at someone you love, when you're in a random conversation and they're telling you about something they're going through and you read something about it that morning, let it come out of your mouth because that's when it's power. That's when that power is released. Don't keep it on the inside anymore. Don't keep that word to you. That's not what it was intended for. It was intended to come out of your mouth. Okay, let's keep reading in Hebrews 4, chapter 4, verse 14. Still in the Amplified. Inasmuch then as we believers have a great high priest who has already ascended and passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. That confession is of faith, and we cling tenaciously to our absolute trust in him as Savior. I love cling tenaciously. Man, the Amplified puts in there, cling tenaciously. And man, am I clinging? Is that the kind of trust? Is that the kind of faith that I have that I cling tenaciously to it? It doesn't matter what's coming. It doesn't matter what makes it feel like this isn't going to come to pass. I know what God's word says. I cling tenaciously to this word. I don't care what your report is. I don't care what you think you're seeing. This is what God's word says. This is what I have. And I cling tenaciously to that, not your report, not what it seems like, not what I feel like. I cling tenaciously to his word. Cling tenaciously. Man, I think about that. You just got to think about just grabbing onto something, and no matter what, I'm not going to let go. This is mine. God promised it to me. Man, I'm going to cling tenaciously to this word that God has placed on the inside of me. Cling tenaciously to our absolute trust in him as Savior. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize and understand our weaknesses and temptations, but one who has been tempted, knowing exactly how it feels to be human, in every respect as we are, yet without committing any sin. Therefore, let us with privilege. Everybody say with privilege. Say with privilege. I'm working with young people, so you might have to repeat some, right? With privilege. Therefore, let us with privilege approach the throne of grace. It's a privilege. It's an honor to get to go before God. I think about that when they get up here and worship. We have the privilege to worship God. We can sit back. We can chill. We can just hang out and not do anything. Or we can take full advantage of that privilege we have to worship God. With privilege, we approach the throne of grace. That is the throne of God's gracious favor. With confidence and without fear, so that we may receive mercy for our failures and find his amazing grace to help in time of need. An appropriate blessing coming just at the right time. Man, he just wants to help. He loves you. I say this probably all the time, but he's a good father. He's a good father. Man, if you're a dad, you know all you want to do for your kids, and that's like filthy rags for what God wants to do for us. Right? He came and experienced, right? Jesus came and experienced all this. So he would know what it was like when we went through it. But he also knew what it was like to overcome because he went through it without ever committing any sin. Right? So he's there on our behalf. He's there when we fail, right? Like he wants to extend that mercy, wants to extend that grace. He is there for us. He wants to see us overcome more than we want to see ourselves overcome. That's the reality. He's not up there thinking, why do you keep messing up? So when you have that thought, that's not God. That's you. That's the enemy. That's pizza. Whatever it is, it's not God. God is, I love you. God is, you're more than a conqueror. That's God. Man, you're victorious. You win. That's God. I love you. I love you. I love you. I forgive you. I forgive you. That's God. So just learn to hear his voice. Man, the more you spend time in this, the more you realize who he is. Because sometimes maybe our relationship with our earthly father is messed up. And so we think maybe how he treated us, whether he wasn't there, whether he was there, but he wasn't really available, that's not God. He's so much greater than a good father here on earth is. Know that. Know that. All right, Hebrews, staying in Hebrews 4, 12 and 13, but this is in the Passion Translation. For we have the living word of God, which is full of energy. I love that, full of energy. For we have the living word of God, which is full of energy, like a two-mouthed sword. I love it because I'm like, man, I just read that. I learned it. Okay, like a two-mouthed sword. It will even penetrate to the very core of our being where soul and spirit, bone and marrow meet. It interprets and reveals the true thoughts and secret motives of our heart. There is not one person who can hide their thoughts from God. That's a little bit intense, right? Like, for nothing that we do remains a secret and nothing created is concealed, but everything is exposed and defenseless before his eyes, to whom we must render an account. So then we must cling in faith to all we know to be true. You're not hiding it from God. Right? I say that to young people all the time. You may fool your parents. You may fool a leader. You're not fooling God. And at the end of the day, that's who we're here to please. We're here to please God. He knows the true motives and intents of our heart. Like he knows. It says you can't hide. You can't conceal anything from him. Right? But he's not sitting up there thinking you're a bad person. Man, if you're heading down the wrong track, he just wants to help you get back on the right track. He literally says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. No other stipulations. Draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. It's not like, hey, clean your life up so you can draw near to me. No, no, no. Draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. That's the heart of a loving God. That's who he is. In nature, I mean, that's just a part of who he is. And listen, the world will misconstrue it, right? And it's hard because I talked about this with young people like 2 weeks ago. God is a good God. And what I mean is, if you think that God put cancer on your grandma, it's going to be hard for you to think that God's a good God. If you think that God took your baby cousin because he needed him in heaven, it's going to be hard to love and trust that God because those things aren't from God. But the reality is the world says these things that kind of feels like comforting but really gives you a skewed perception of who God is. Those things are not God. God's a healer. God heals. That's who he is. God delivers. God sets free. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, as the Bible says. So if he's stolen, if it's death or if it's destroying, that's the enemy. That's not God. That's not who he is. It said he came to bring life and life more abundantly. But we get messed up. It's hard to trust a God who you're like, I don't know what he's up to today. I hope he doesn't take someone I love today. That's not who he is. He's given us his promises. Now, we got to cling tenaciously. Why? Because the world's going to try and get us to look at it a different way. People well-meaning sometimes want you to look at it in a different way. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16 in the Message says, now that we know what we have, Jesus, the great high priest with ready access to God, let's not let it slip through our fingers. We don't have a priest who is out of touch with our reality. He's been through weakness and testing, experienced it all except for the sin. So let's walk right up to him and get what he is so ready to give. Take the mercy, accept the help. Take the mercy, accept. I love it. Just walk right up to him. He laid it out for you. Take the mercy. Just take it, right? Take the help. Accept the mercy. Whatever you're going through, he so wants to forgive you. That's it. Right? But the enemy knows if you're still dealing with this, you're going to have a hard time accessing his promises. Because you're just thinking about how you've messed up and how you're not good enough and how all that. And you're having a hard time getting a victory because your focus should be on his word and letting it get in you and get out of you. But if you're focusing on your mistakes and why I can't get out of this rut, it's going to be hard to proclaim his promises and his truth. All he's trying to do is get you caught in a trap. That's the enemy. Man, he's a weasel. He is a punk. He wants to get you caught in a trap, not realizing the victorious life that you've been given in God. That's the truth. I've seen people victorious time and time again when they simply just stand. God, I'm going to trust you in this. It doesn't matter that it feels like everything's falling apart. I know who you are, and I know what you've promised me. And I'm going to stand on that promise. It changes everything. Changes everything. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, and the Amplified says, all scripture is God-breathed. It's given by divine inspiration. It's profitable for instruction, for conviction of sin, for correction of error and restoration to obedience. I love how it says correction of error, but restoration to obedience. Right? Just wants to get you back on the right path, making the right decisions, back into a place of obedience. I tell people all the time, man, so much of our walk with God is just simple obedience. It's just doing the things you know you should do. It's with your kids. Hey, respond the first time. I don't need to chase you down. Simple obedience. I'd say take the trash out. It's not after this game, after this. No. It's simple obedience. Why you want to train yourself to be simply obedient so when God calls you to do something, it's not like, well, why God? How about this? How about this? How about this? How about these excuses? It's, yes, God. Yeah, I'll go share your love with that person. Yeah, I'll go invite that person to church. Yeah, I'll go start serving in that area. Yes, God. Simple obedience. I'll take that step. Yes, if I'm supposed to do the internship, I'm going to step into that. I'm going to go fill out that application. Simple obedience. That's it. We all have 1,000 questions, but when it's God and it's his word, the answer is yes. It's yes. Yes, God. Restoration obedience for training in righteousness, learning to live in conformity to God's will, both publicly and privately, behaving honorably with personal integrity and moral courage, right? That's what God's word is there for you to do. It's there to train you in righteousness, which it says is learning to live in conformity to God's will, both publicly and privately, behaving honorably with personal integrity and moral courage. That's what it's there to do for you. It's gonna bring correction, and it's going to teach you how to live. Not just when other people are looking, it's going to teach you how to live all the time. When you're at home and no one else is around, and when you're in public around everybody, it's going to teach you how to live. Verse 17, so that the man of God may be complete and proficient, outfitted and thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's the heart of God. You're thoroughly equipped for every work. Everything that comes your way, God wants to equip you through his word. Through his word, right? I get it, I receive it, I get revelation of it, and then I speak it. And then I share it, and then I proclaim it. I dig in, I get it, I receive it, it's in my heart, I understand, I have a revelation of it, I'm saying it, and I'm sharing it with others. That's when it has power. That's when it's powerful. Not my opinions, not like what I think should be happening or how it should happen. No, God's promise, God's word, right? It's to know him and him crucified. That's it. We all can land on different opinions in this room, right? I mean, from politics to sports teams to whatever, we could be all over the map. But let's all be on the same page when it comes to God's word. It's true. It's inspired by him. It's there to help you overcome. It's there to help you train. It's there to bring correction. And there's going to be areas, you're going to be reading God's word, and you're going to be like, I haven't been doing that right. I got to stop doing that. It's going to bring that inside, right? Because it says it knows us. God's word penetrates. Like, it gets inside of us. It digs the areas that maybe sometimes we've hidden. God's word gets in there. That's its job. That's its job, because that's what's going to make you better, right? Because there's a battle down the road that you're not even aware of yet, and God's preparing you now with the word that he's putting inside of you for the battle that you don't even know is coming, but he sees it. He knows it's coming, right? So you dig in, you get that revelation, you get that understanding, and when that battle comes, it's nothing. It's nothing. The enemy wants to build it up. He wants to take you out, but it's nothing. Why? Because you have God's word on your mouth, because it's coming out of you. And that battle that was supposed to be this huge take-you-down moment, it's nothing, right? Like, it doesn't even pause you or slow you down. It's like, are you serious? Here's what his word says. Please don't let God's word sit dormant in your heart. Please don't keep it on the inside of you. That's not what it's intended for. Hebrews 6, 9 through 12 in the Amplified. But beloved, even though we speak to you in this way, we are convinced of better things concerning you. and of things that accompany salvation. For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown for his name and ministering to the needs of the saints, right? It's like, hey, you're doing a good job. Keep it up. Don't stop doing what you're doing. Ministering to the saints, God's people, as you do. We desire for each one of you to show the same diligence. I love the word diligence. And it says all the way through. Man, there's some things in your life maybe that you haven't seen all the way through that God's going to remind you. You need to go back. You need to see those things all the way through. Man, finish those things that God started, whether it's ministering to somebody, whether it's finishing, whatever it is, diligence is seeing it all the way through so as to realize and enjoy the full assurance of hope until the end so that you will not be spiritually sluggish. Right? When you see things through, when you're obedient and you're doing those things and you're diligent, you don't become spiritually sluggish. When the Word talks about it, it means that there's a chance that could happen. And spiritually sluggish to me is like what I'm in the Word every day. Okay, is it coming out of your mouth? Is it not just helping you, but is it helping other people? Is it operative? Is it energizing? Right? Because getting it in you is a big deal, but getting out of you is even a bigger deal. Right? Like some of us are great. We've mastered the getting it in me. So next step is you got to get it out of you. It's not just in there for you. It's in there for the people around you. It's in there for the people that you're going to come into contact with. So we have to be diligent with it. Don't be spiritually sluggish, but we'll instead be imitators of those who through faith. We got to imitate people who through faith lean on God with absolute trust and confidence in him and in his power. And by patient endurance, even when suffering, are now inheriting the promises of God. It reminds me of Galatians 6:9. Don't grow weary in doing good, because in due season you'll reap a harvest if you don't lose heart. This morning was Hebrews like 11 or 12, and Isabel texted me, and she said, I don't even want to pick a verse. I love that it by so many times it just said by faith. And it just showed you how these people overcame. By faith, by faith, by faith. She said the entire chapter was just encouraging of all these people overcoming because by faith. That's what it's supposed to be, right? Like we're imitators of that. We're imitators of Abraham who by faith inherited the promises. That's all we're doing is we're imitating the people that came before us and did it. That's it. He's laid out the path for you. He's shown us how we're supposed to do it. He's laid it out in his word. You got to get in it. You got to get in it because he wants you to inherit the promises just like those that came before us. There are promises that are yours. Don't miss out on them. I would hate to have gifts for my kids and they're just like, yeah, I just never opened it. I'm like, are you serious? Like we spent time. Like that's all. We gave that to you. Yeah, I never opened it. Like I was good with what I had. I didn't need any more. Do you realize that God's always going to have more for you? You're going to open this and be like, this is amazing. My life is the best it's ever been. And the next year you should say, my life is the best it's ever been. And then the next year you should be like, how is my life keep getting better? Because it's God. It's not you. I'd love to take credit for it. I know the family I was raised in. I know who I should be. I know the statistic I should be. It didn't happen because of God. That's it. And somebody taught me to stand on the promises of God. Somebody taught me to speak the promises of God. So I'm teaching my kids. I'm teaching young people. I'm teaching you. I'm reminding you. Proclaim his promises. God has something great for you. He's not done with you. Like you think, oh, I'm great. Look at what I've accomplished. Look what I've done. There is something on the other side of it. There is somebody on the other side of it. Don't stop. Don't slow down. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18 through 20. In the message, when God made his promise to Abraham, he backed it to the hilt, putting his own reputation on the line. He said, I promise that I'll bless you with everything I have. Bless and bless and bless. Abraham stuck it out. Everybody say stuck it out. Sometimes we don't stick it out. God promises something and we get tired of waiting for it. He was old when it came to pass. Old. But he stuck it out. And we're talking about him today. Because he inherited what was promised. Because he stuck it out. Man, stick it out. What have you been holding on to? Don't let go of it. Stick it out. God has something great for you. Stick it out. Abraham stuck it out and got everything that had been promised to him. Everything that had been promised to him. When people make promises, they guarantee them by appeal to some authority above them so that if there's any question that they'll make good on the promise, the authority will back them up. Right? Like you hear kids all the time, I swear by that, I swear by you, whatever it is. Right? They're just trying to back it up like, hey, look, it's backed by this. When God wanted to guarantee his promises, he gave his word, a rock-solid guarantee. God can't break his word. And because his word cannot change, the promise is likewise unchangeable. It's unchangeable. We who have run for our very lives to God, right? Like I ran for my very life. Like when it said that, I was like, yes, like here, God, do with it what you want. We who have run for our very lives to God have every reason to grab the promised hope with both hands and never let go. Grab the promise with both hands and never let go, right? Cling tenaciously. Like grab it, right? Whatever it is, it's yours. Like just grab whatever God's speaking to you, whatever you've heard from this platform, whatever promise you've read about, grab it. Grab it with two hands. Man, that's what Abraham did, and he stuck it out. This is what you've promised me, God. This is what you've promised me, God. Man, I'm not going until I have it. This is mine. Grab the promise hope with both hands. Never let go. It's an unbreakable spiritual lifeline, reaching past all appearances right to the very presence of God, where Jesus, running on ahead of us, has taken up his permanent post as high priest for us. So Jesus, can I get the band to come back up here? So Jesus has done this, right? Like he has set it up for us. Like it's almost unbelievable to think about how amazing God was in orchestrating this to work on our behalf. He's just showing you, this is how much I loved you. That I give my only son on your behalf. Right? Like knew no sin, dies on the cross for us. But that's not just it. It's not just salvation. I got promises that are backed by me. I can't lie. That promise is backed by me. There's nothing greater to back it on than God himself. And he said, the promises are yours. But then he gives examples of people who stuck it out, who didn't grow weary in doing good. And in due season, they reaped a harvest because they didn't lose heart. That's who we have to be. That's what guts is about. Like, I think of that word guts. It's just Pastor Bill and Pastor Andy have stuck it out. They knew God. He had a vision of a church that God promised them, and he just stood on it. He didn't let it die. He didn't let naysayers say, hey, better people have tried, right? Like, that's somebody told him that. Somebody trusted, said that. He didn't let that affect him. Why? Because he knew the word he had from God. If you know the word that God has spoken over you, you stand on it, and you stand strongly on it. Man, there are so many promises of God in his word, whether it's your health, your finances, your relationship. Stick it out. Don't give up. Remember, it's a two-mouth sword. God spoke it. Now you go speak it. Let's pray. God, we love you. Father, I thank you for every person in this room. Father, we thank you for your word. God, we cling tenaciously to your word. God, we grab it with two hands. We want your promise, God. We want the desired life that you have for us, Father. We thank you, God, that you didn't come to steal, kill, and destroy, God, but that you came to give us life and life more abundantly. God, we proclaim that healing is ours, God, that we are healed by the stripes of Jesus because of the price you've paid, God. Sickness has no place in our bodies, God. That poverty has no place in our lives, God, because of the price that was paid. If you're in here tonight and your life's not right with God for whatever reason, you just know that you're not in the place you should be with God. Maybe you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. Maybe you have, and maybe you've been reading his word, but it's just been sitting dormant in your heart. And today you're ready to, hey, I want to release it. I'm ready to do more. I'm ready to stand. Man, maybe I said something. You realize that you didn't cling to something you know you should have clung to. And tonight you just want to tell God, God, I'm in. God, I'm clinging again. God, I'm holding on to your promise again. I'm not losing hope ever again. If that's you, can you just raise your hand? We want to pray for you tonight. God bless you. Anybody else? We just want to pray for you tonight. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. Anybody else? I want more of you, God. God bless you. I want it to be a two-mouth sword, Father. I don't want it just to be in me. God, I want it to come out of me. Anybody else? God bless you. That's awesome. Oh, we love you, God. Anybody else? Man, don't miss this. God, I just want more of you. I want to get my life right, God. I want to do it the way you intended it to. Anybody else? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray in here tonight. I'm going to have everybody repeat after me, and we're going to sing another song. And I want you just to worship God like it's a privilege, right? It's a little early, so if you got kids, they'll be fine. But it's a privilege to worship God. And when we go to worship, I want you guys to worship like that. Man, and if you're dealing with something, give it to God. We'll have elders up here at the end of service. If you need to pray with somebody, pray with them. Don't go through stuff alone. That's not what Guts Church is about. It's built as a team. A team that's here to help you. Everybody repeat after me. Say, Father God, I give you my life. I make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. I put all my trust in you. Forgive me for the wrong things I've done. I choose today to forgive those that have wronged me. I choose to proclaim your promises over my life. I love you, God, in Jesus' name. God, we give you these next few moments, Father. It is a privilege. It's a privilege to come before you. It's a privilege to worship you, God. It's a privilege to surrender our lives and to know you, God. God, I thank you as people have gone through stuff in the last week, month, year. God, that when they worship in these next few moments, God, that it's broken. Whatever that's tried to hold them down, God, it's broken. It's broken. God, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.